Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Sports is business. And whenever you are procuring talent, you must start with a criteria.
Being owners of this league and wanting our league to be the best in the world, how do we make it better?
The valuations are getting so high, the list of people who could purchase a team is getting really short.
We have 8 strategic investment areas when you look at the world of sports.
The NBA is already in 210 countries around the world.
NFL is an amazing thing for the sports betting industry.
We have the World Cup coming in 2026. To North America.
Hey, if I get $1 million for going to a school, trust me, I'll be there.
Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
Coming up today with the Super Bowl around the corner, we talk big game betting action with the CEO of BetMGM, Adam Greenblatt.
There is a base level of demand in the state of Nevada for the product.
Yeah.
What we are seeing is that with the increase, with the availability of regulated sports betting around the country, the tide has risen across the board, which includes Nevada.
We also check in on the NBA as we get closer to All-Star Weekend with the president of the Milwaukee Bucks, Peter Fagan. He is fresh off his team's decision to make an unexpected midseason coaching change.
You know, we announced Doc a few days ago and had him march out in front of a Marquette game in the crowd and kind of had a standing ovation for a few minutes.
All that straight ahead on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. But first, we talk through a couple of big headlines from this past week.
Big headlines indeed, Michael Barr. A group of big-time investors led by Carlyle Group co-founder David Rubenstein agreed to buy a controlling stake in Major League Baseball's Baltimore Orioles.
And O's legend Cal Ripken Jr. reportedly a part of that group. Of course, Rubenstein is the host of the David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations, which airs on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
This week, we also saw the PGA Tour strike a deal that could be worth up to $3 billion. To take us through all those big money moves this week and more, welcome back Bloomberg U.S. sports business reporter, old friend of the show, Randall Williams. Randall, welcome, my man, back
to
Bloomberg.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. Well, let's start, first of all, let's start with the deal here with Rubenstein agreeing to buy the Orioles for $1.7 billion, which relatively that's cheap compared to other teams.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare it to the Commanders or the Broncos or even the Panthers, it's a little smaller, and baseball teams are valued at, some of the baseball teams are valued at a little bit less, but I'd like $1.7 billion.
Oh, yeah. I'll take $1.7.
That's small. Please, someone, donate.
So you could argue that David Rubenstein is getting a good deal. And it's not just Rubenstein either, because it's a Rubenstein-led group with some other big names from the world of finance, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it will. We'll have to see based on how the team performs, of course. Sports valuations are rising. Mm-hmm. We'll see when they peak. But this is a good deal for him. I think if the team wins, then that Baltimore area is rabid about their sports team. So if he's able to win and capitalize on that through marketing, through other things, then it's going to prove to be worth it.
Let me just jump in and mention that former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is part of the group that is purchasing the Oreos. And of course, Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg News, parent Bloomberg LP.
Scarlett, but he doesn't care about the Oreos. This is all about David Rubenstein. I mean, this is the culmination of a long quest for him to land the Oreos. I mean, he's 74 years old. He grew up rooting for the Orioles, rooting for Brooks Robinson. So this is really quite interesting, is it not, Randall?
Yeah, I think Sports teams and sports leagues enjoy when they get hometown heroes acquire teams because they have a relationship with the community that's around them. And when you have sometimes you have billionaires that come in and buy these teams, they're hands on and hands off. I mean, look at the way the Panthers have been run. Imagine if that person was a hometown hero. They might connect with the community a little bit more. There might be a little more patience. So this is great for him.
What's that old saying? When do you make money off of your baseball team? When you sell it, because they're buying it, the percentage right now from the Angelos family. And at the time, Peter Angelo bought the team, not even a tenth, let's say, of what the going price is now. It's going to be around
back in 1993, yeah. Michael Barr. I mean, so he's held it for quite a while. I mean, have they won any World Series in that time? I mean, correct me. I
don't think so.
Oh,
dang, man. Why you want to go rain on the parade?
Yeah, well, So I got to ask you, when it comes to the Oreos, what is the state of play when it comes to broadcast rights for this team? Because there's some confusion, or maybe confusion is not the right word. There's a lot of moving parts when the Nationals moved over to the D.C. area. And I'm not clear on who owns what and what Rubenstein is getting in this.
So as far as the RSNs, I'm not clear either just yet, just because there are some who have great RSNs deal, just like the Dodgers who, I mean, quite frankly, their RSN deal allowed them to acquire Shohei Ohtani and some of the big contracts that they signed this year. With them specifically, I'd have to fact check.
Well, Randall, you know, I mean, I'm sure you're aware, last week I was traveling in the Middle East. You know, I went to Doha, I went to Dubai. One place I didn't go was Riyadh. And okay. I'm wondering if you could tell me a little bit about what Moynihan was doing in Riyadh last week. Why wasn't he meeting with me? I mean, what's going on with Liv? What's going on with, you know, this new contingent of U.S. investors who are taking a stake in the PGA, $3 billion? What's it for?
Well, this is their new for-profit arm called PGA Tour Enterprises. And so up front, the players get equity through $1.5 billion, and the rest of it will come in a little later. But this was thought to be needed by a number of people that Bloomberg has spoken to that, hey, they need American investors for a potential PGA and LIV merger to cross the finish line. This is allegedly going to help with that.
Well, and part of the problem that has been created now, and any major golf fan knows where I'm going with this, you've split up the talent now.
Right.
It's with LIV, with the PGA, and right now you divided that whole pool out there, and I wonder if it's weak in both products.
Well, I think it'll depend on if LIV decides they want to throw another $300, $400 billion at another premier golfer. I mean, that is exactly what they did towards the end of last year. And I think the longer that this goes, the more dicey it gets. So does this help? 100%. But does LIV say, hey, we want X golfer now because this is – you know, let's just say it goes into May.
Well, Randall, what is unprecedented here is the fact that a U.S. Senate panel is investigating all the discussions that went on with the PJ and LIV. And interestingly enough, when they subpoenaed, I believe it's Yasser al-Rumayyan, who's the Saudi Wealth Fund PIF's head, who really spearheaded this whole endeavor, he refused to show up. And so it started an interesting subcommittee inquiry, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that, because I think it boiled to a head yesterday. And it sounds like the PIF is actually even trying to sue McKinsey and some others to prevent them from releasing information. Is that right?
They want this to proceed as quickly and as quietly as possible.
Right.
So the news that broke yesterday is needed. But any further conversation or investigation, I think all parties want to stay out of. They're just like, hey, can we get everybody back together? Can we make as much money as possible so that we can stop losing money and just bring everyone together? Because at the end of the day, it's like Michael was saying, when the talent pool is divided, it's almost like the AFL and NFL. Mm-hmm. You had to choose which one you were going to watch. And right now, LIV doesn't really have a good way for American viewers to watch their product right now. If you bring everyone together, you don't have that issue.
Well, I think the fundamental thing here, just to, you know, expand on it, is this goes hand in hand with why foreign investors aren't able to buy stakes in NFL football teams, right? Because the disclosure, the burden that's placed on them to disclose their own information, their own financials, and apparently the argument made by PIF in this case, why they aren't submitting information, is because it would violate Saudi law, whatever that means.
Interesting.
So now there is indeed a legal conflict of interest. So it's just difficult. Doesn't matter how much money is residing offshore in some of these sovereign wealth funds, what pools of wealth, you know, for them to invest in the United States, the disclosures, the transparency that's required, it just might be a bridge too far, no?
Well, in reference to your NFL comment, the NFL doesn't need it.
Right.
You could argue the NFL doesn't. I'm working on something in secession right now, but they have, if the NFL were to allow something, I think that they would lean a little bit more private equity before looking to sovereign wealth. Now, the NBA has an opportunity for it, but we saw what happened when the Washington Wizards allowed Qatari to come in, and mm-hmm. then the Israel-Hamas thing breaks out. And those are two completely sides of the world. And if I believe they own 5 or 6%, maybe it's 4, 5, or 6% that the Qatari Wealth Fund owns of the Wizards. And it just creates this conflict like you're speaking of, where if you don't clear your books, you're not willing to say, hey, this is how I make my money, then a lot of these American leagues are like, we don't want your money.
Yeah.
And so, well, I think as these valuations rise and as people get older and team sales happen, the pool of people who can buy these sports franchises gets smaller and smaller. So you either change the ownership rules to allow a larger group, or you just allow super duper big billionaires to come in from all over the world and purchase them.
So when it comes to the NFL, though, it's really about the other NFL owners agreeing to what they want to see from the potential buyers, right? I mean, there's no other entity. It's this cabal of guys saying, yeah, we're okay with that. No, we don't want that.
Exactly. Exactly. So they have an ownership committee that reviews some of this stuff. And the thing is, they have to approve of it. So think about Josh Harris. I think that deal took around 2 months just because there's mm-hmm. so many people involved as they're verifying these books and making sure they have the right person. Because, I mean, look at the previous owner of the Commanders. Look at how that went. I mean, Snyder was involved in a lot of stuff that had a lot of people shaking in their boots. So if you bring an international owner in and no one is familiar with him and you have all these American guys, it's like a cousin you haven't seen in 20 years showing up at the family reunion.
Well, Randall, you make a good point about the private equity model for investing in sports teams. And I wonder, this SSG consortium of investors that's mm-hmm. taking a stake in the PGA, I wonder if that's not a vehicle that's being formed that's perhaps more palatable to the governments in terms of allowing the PIF to invest through that vehicle into the PGA. I don't know if this is the beginning of that type of conversation.
I spoke with sources yesterday, and they said that any PIF investment would be very small. So minority within the PGA Tour enterprises, the for-profit arm. Now, so that doesn't really affect this thing, but the merger itself, I mean, who knows how much money that they could invest? We've seen $300, $400, $500 million go to players. This thing is worth $3
billion. Yeah.
They've offered golfers 10% of that.
Yeah.
Imagine how much they could buy if the deal just keeps going on and on and on.
I want to go back to something Michael Barr pointed out, which is this is dividing the players themselves. Once upon a time, before the announcement that the two were looking to merge or do some kind of combination, you were either on Team PGA or Team Live, mm-hmm. and never the twain shall meet. But now this has all been mixed up. I mean, no one has to really decide one way or another. You could do both, or you just it's a grab bag out there, isn't it?
Yeah, you're ultimately having to make a decision. Do you pick generational wealth, $300? So, I mean, not every deal is $300 million. I've heard $25 million, $50, but let's talk about the ones that are over $100 million. You're having to decide, hey, go and make this $100 million that could set up my family for generations, or stay loyal with an organization that you started with. And it's really up to them.
Well, for a group of folks that wanted to keep it quiet, whoo, glad we just kept it quiet. Randall Williams, Bloomberg U.S. sports business reporter. Up next, we turn to basketball with Milwaukee Bucks president Peter Fagan. Hey, you're listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. The Milwaukee Bucks are in the middle of another winning season led by superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis, the long tooth against the long arm of Wembanyama. Giannis alone again. Can he do it twice? Yes, sir! Giannis! Back-to-back bombs. He has put the Bucks ahead by three with 2:21.4 to go here in the fourth quarter. Back to Giannis. Left wing. Tie game. 56 seconds to go. Giannis with a ferocious slam right in the face of Kelton Johnson with a foul as a cherry on top.
But despite being one of the league's best teams, they just made a pretty surprising coaching change.
Oh, yeah. And here now to talk with us is Milwaukee Bucks president Peter Fagan. Hello, sir. Welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thanks for having us.
Well, okay. I got to ask. Everybody wants the elephant in the room, and I know, and, you know, don't hang up on me, but you guys made a surprise coaching change. You guys got Doc Rivers, who takes over for Adrian Griffin. What was the reaction inside the organization about this move?
You know, almost 100% positive. I think, you know, certainly some empathy and kind of when you make any type of pivot like this, like changing, we, you know, Adrian Griffin as a person is kind of off the charts, a total pro, been great. I just think for the organization and, you know, to make a pivot and to really think we need to accelerate directionally, kind of change our direction and our approach was the key. And, you know, we announced Doc, had him march out in front of a Marquette game in the crowd and kind of had a standing ovation for a few minutes. And it's kind of, it's Doc's locally a homecoming and that he's a guy who played for Marquette. And I think it's been overwhelmingly like seamless and positive kind of internally and externally as good as we could hope.
Peter, I want to ask you all about, you know, Marquette. I want to ask you about the Deer District. I want to ask you about the Bucks heading for their second championship as long as you've been president within the last 9 years. But before I do all that, I want you to take me back to your role from 98 to 04 when you were working for the Knicks. I imagine you crossed paths with Jesse Itzler because after that you were a COO of Marquee Jet. Talk to me about working with Jesse, with Kenny. Talk to us about how you arrived in Milwaukee as president of the Bucks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had a career out of college at Six Flags Theme Parks, kind of learned the entertainment retail business and kind of in a fun way when Time Warner ran Six Flags and then moved to the Garden and kind of ran our partnerships and our marketing, you know, for the Knicks. And I mean, Jesse Itz was the greatest story. I sat down one day across these two guys who I thought were clinically insane, and they had authored and produced Go New York Go, which was the theme song, and they had kind of scaled two or three entrepreneurial businesses that I just couldn't imagine, and they kind of blew me away. And maybe like a couple of years later, we were just talking and they were talking about scaling this business in private aviation associated with Berkshire Hathaway. And I would never have thought in my life that I would be kind of intrigued and kind of go there. And that was that turned into like a neat transition of 10 years of my life, you know, running Marquee Jet, which was then acquired by NetJets and then kind of running part of NetJets business for a little while. So it's kind of how the world goes, like funny,
amazing,
funny instances and kind of sitting down across people. So now Jesse owns a piece of the Atlanta Hawks. And
I was just going to ask that. Do you guys toss it around? Yeah, all the time, right?
Yeah. No, we toss around. It's a great position for me because, as you know, the Hawks really haven't won anything lately, like in a while. So it's a fun conversation.
I want to ask about, you know, just kind of piggybacking off of what Damian was asking about. Sports franchises are brands. And when you worked for the Knicks, that was a huge brand. It's known all over the country, all over the world, you could argue. Now you're selling a smaller brand, just as passionate a fan base, but the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, you can't really compare that to the New York Knicks. Tell me a little bit about what the brand represented when you first arrived at the Bucks organization and what you've built it into now.
Yeah, I would say, like, absolutely, I disagree with you. We were kind of purchased by three New York City financiers who kind of had grown up with Knicks season tickets. And when we started this journey, you know, and kind of acquired what was really kind of quantitatively and qualitatively probably one of the most distressed brands in sports. You know, just by every number you can imagine, the Bucks had lost, you know, had only won 15 games that year. We kind of, like, in revenue to ticket price to attendance to per caps, you know, were kind of either 29th or 30th in the 30 league. Our owners made it really clear, like, we are going to redefine a small market, and we're going to treat this, you know, and we're going to build a foundation, we're going to build process and run a business as if we are the market, like in the NBA, and kind of take the gold standard. And the fun thing for me personally and professionally is I had kind of done that, you know, from New York City and from Madison Square Garden, and kind of had realized, you know, very early, you know, the gold standard of resourcing a team, a company, a brand at the highest level. So it was kind of incredible experience to have. And to put against, like, what these owners were really looking for. Like, we wanted to redefine what a small market meant, what the Bucks meant, what it meant to our audience. I mean, the most interesting thing here is, like, you know, if you told me 9 years ago, I would tell you, like, oh, God, we've got to capture the Milwaukee audience, then the Wisconsin audience, then the regional, then the national. Come to really think about it, the funnel really is, you know, global. You know, is primary, the national is secondary, and then it really becomes localized in a big way. And part of that is the Giannis effect. You know,
yes.
I'm sure we'll talk about.
Which we will, but I want to jump on what you said a little bit earlier, which is you had finance guys from New York, Mark Lazary among them, but he did sell his 25% team ownership stake to Jimmy Haslam, the Cleveland Browns owner and the Haslam Sports Group, back in April. How has that changed things? What's the Haslam effect now on the Bucks now that Mark Lazary is out?
So it's an awesome infusion because all of a sudden we had Wes Edens, another primary owner, owns Aston Villa, kind of has the Premier League as a compare and contrast, which is really interesting, like on a global basis. Jimmy and Dee Haslam bring in the Cleveland Browns and bring in MLS as the Columbus Crew. And when you're running an operation like this, and when you're thinking about kind of what are the best practices, how do you aggregate, you know, kind of the best talent and really think about the businesses on a much larger level, it gives you a huge advantage, especially now that we've got kind of the reference of an NFL team and kind of how they think about position and monetize. So it's been awesome. Like it's kind of like a real infusion of growth for us and different way of thinking to have an owner who actually owns other franchises and other leagues.
Well, yeah, we got to talk about Giannis the Adonis.
Cam Thomas circles it down low, challenges. Giannis blocked the shot. Rebound controlled by the Greek Freak. He's been on both sides of the court dominating here in the fourth quarter. And Milwaukee's going to have it with a foul called going the other way with 12.2 seconds to go. Gets it to Lillard. He'll feed to Giannis. Giannis spins through everybody and plunges it down. Oh, baby, what a play. The Greek Freak taking charge here, ladies. Got 11 points here in the fourth.
When it comes to marketing, to quote a phrase from my beautiful late grandmama, Lord, where's my purse, child? Because this man brings in a lot of money for you marketing-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's redefined the international, you know, player market. The league has been, you know, kind of growing to like a large percent of 20, 25% of players are international. But Giannis really kind of helped redefine, you know, where he kind of came out of nowhere. I keep telling him that, you know, when he came here, he was not Giannis, you know, and kind of how he grew and his background of both Nigerian and Greek to kind of have two continents of connection. And he has redefined, you know, kind of the NBA and what a small market can do on a global basis. You know, the Bucks are broadcast in 215 countries. We're kind of maxed out on national TV broadcasts. We've got the exposure you can imagine, you know, across across the world, and that certainly helps your platform when you're positioning a brand and a team and its players and trying to grow it on a P&L basis.
Peter, Michael likes to talk about his late grandmama, but you know what I really would like to know, in all seriousness, is about your mother, about being Barbara's son. I mean, Barbara, you know, survivor of Nazi Germany, just wrote a best-selling book, you know, a defining figure at Gray Advertising. Talk to us about growing up with your two brothers in that household in New York City and what you took away from that and how that's helped you in your career.
Yeah, you don't know until you know. So, you know, I thought I was leading a normal life with like two parents and kind of what you grew up in, two professionals. And then you kind of come to realize that you're sitting at the dinner table and kind of hanging out with one of the pioneers in advertising and kind of through osmosis and direct contact, kind of learning about branding, learning about business processes at the kitchen table. So you think about one of the greatest advantages, like in the history of the world, which we always say kind of in education is like, how do we learn? How do we get the parents involved? You know, I had that on steroids to really have this distinct advantage of you know, this mother and this parental unit who kind of were professionals in what I became interested in at the highest level and can just kind of learn and absorb, you know, from the best.
So, you know, Peter, now that we've had that, you know, serious question out of the way, I'm wondering, you know, my daughter's a big fan of chicken tenders, and I've heard the best chicken tenders this side of the Mississippi River is Cream City Cluckery. Talk to us about the Deer District. Talk to us about what's going on in Milwaukee, how you've changed the game on the ground.
Wait. What was the name of that again, please?
Cream City Cluckery.
Well, I mean, like a really fun, you know, crazy story. You know, when COVID took over and we were kind of thinking about what to do, we happened to realize that we had the largest kitchen in the state of Wisconsin, you know, in Fiserv Forum, and how could we activate it? It was kind of the time when ghost kitchens like really became, you know, kind of interesting and we branded a food, we customized it, we cooked at the highest level, and we started to successfully become like one of the larger takeout and brick and mortar chicken places like during it and kind of extended it through as it's one of our key offerings like in the arena itself. It's still a big takeout business and it's kind of like one of those fun extensions. And it's one of the great things when you work for, you know, these people who are private equity, investment, entrepreneur people, you know, they are very open to kind of trying new things and having some fun. And that's kind of, you know, when you have a strong brand and you're growing, kind of some of the neat, fun things you can do.
Our thanks to Peter Fagan for joining us. He is the president of the Milwaukee Bucks. Up next, we take a look at the betting world heading into the NFL's big game with BetMGM CEO Adam Greenblatt.
I absolutely love the NFL. I love the fact that the momentum of a game can change on a dime. It's tremendous. It's such beautiful entertainment.
That is straight ahead on the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. The Super Bowl, you've heard of that. It is one of the biggest sporting events on the calendar and one of the biggest moments for the sports betting industry. And with the game just around the corner, we wanted to check in on the sports betting landscape with Adam Greenblatt. He's the CEO at BetMGM, a market-leading sports betting and gaming entertainment company, in case you don't bet online. Adam, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, we were just before we went on the air, we were talking about Scarlett being a diehard 49ers fan, along with my wife, a diehard 49ers fan, and moi, a diehard Lions fan, and right now we're taking some Robitussin on our end over here. But you said something, and you're exactly right. The conversations we're having, especially with the NFC Championship game in the rearview mirror now, are the conversations many gamblers have been having.
Absolutely, it's a conversation I think that will be echoed in millions of households around America. And frankly, this adds a flavor, a dimension, a richness to the business of fandom and those NFL-focused conversations. I think I love the drama because that's what our product is about. It amplifies the way we feel about our teams, about our journey.
So I'm curious whether the venue of the Super Bowl 2024 being in Las Vegas changes the dynamics or the volume of game betting that you anticipate for this big event?
Well, it's an interesting one. As you may well know, many of your viewers will know, or listeners will know, Nevada has had sports wagering for longer than any other state. Nevada was grandfathered in as a provider of sports betting opportunity for players, even during the dark years of PASPA, which, as we know, were overturned in 2018. So there is a base level of demand in the state of Nevada for the product.
Yeah.
What we are seeing is that with the increase, with the availability of regulated sports betting around the country, the tide has risen across the board, which includes Nevada. There was an expectation, a thought, a fear, perhaps, that we would see declining demand for sports wagering in Nevada as a result of the availability elsewhere. We've not seen that at all. It's gone from strength to strength.
Adam, I just need to ask you this one question. It's an important question. You know, the NFL, the Super Bowl, I mean, it is the mecca of sports gambling, at least here in the U.S., yet University of Cape Town, I mean, you didn't even go to Wits, man. I mean, you're a rugby fan from South Africa. What on earth do you know about gambling on the Super Bowl? No, I'm just kidding. No, seriously. Oh, tell us what Las Vegas has in store for us. I mean, what sort of events? I mean, you do have the Bellagio, the MGM Grand. I mean, what's in store?
Well, first comment I would make is that you're absolutely right. What is this random South African doing talking to me about the sport that
we're not talking about the Springbok.
But I must tell you, I'm a convert. I absolutely love the NFL. I love the fact that the momentum of a game can change on a dime. It's tremendous. It's such beautiful entertainment and great viewing. Anyway, that aside, BetMGM has been preparing for the big game for months now. And prior to the season, we delivered significant upgrades to our product, our sportsbook product, back-end functionality, front-end experience, a real focus on speed, ease of use, product range, and in fact, over the last 6 months alone, we've improved the speed of our product
by over 25%.
So Adam, Michael's
so
asking
in terms
me-
of what our players are going to experience, a lot of exciting, really engaging product experiences there today. Now, in terms of the big game activations, we've been running teasers for our first ever Super Bowl ad in some what I think are some really creative social campaigns. We've got our big game bash as a two-part event, beginning with a private Bill Burr comedy show on Friday night, February 9th. And then following night, we've got the headliner of Luke Combs at the Cosmopolitan on Saturday night. And then, of course, the grand finale of Vince Vaughn.
That's it.
Tom Brady.
Wayne Gretzky. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Can you believe this? You talk about this random South African from Cape Town. This is the biggest names on the biggest stage in Vegas, our home turf. It couldn't be more exciting.
And that's what Michael Barr wants to know. He wants to know, will Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky, and Vince Vaughn be at Luke Combs' show? Because, you know, he was thinking about purchasing tickets. I think they're available. I'm not mistaken. No, I'm just kidding. Talk to us about that ad. I mean, those are just icons of the industry. And, you know, how involved are they in this year's Super Bowl? Are they going to be in attendance? I mean, what sort of, outside of obviously some of the events you have planned in Las Vegas, are they going to be more visible for the BetMGM brand going forward?
So they will be they are doing a special event for BetMGM's VIPs. We're having an event with the three of them and just 70 of BetMGM's VIPs, which is meet and greet, questions at Q&A, real intimate, we think, for these global superstars, a really intimate gathering. I mean, it's another one of the reasons why being a VIP at BetMGM is a premium place to be, and aspirational, obviously, in a very competitive landscape. But more than that, I can't say, I'm afraid.
I wanted to go back to something you said earlier, because Nevada, the state there, has obviously the mobile and the, when they say retail, is obviously you can bet at the casino, MGM, of course. And I remember when this first happened, when the mobile sites came out, and Nevada kind of turned their nose up at first. It's like, we don't want that. Why do we want to hurt our businesses that make money if you go to a physical casino and bring it in? But like you said, everything changed, and Nevada's seeing the same, not even a drop off, like you said.
As much as the incumbents in any sector, as much as the incumbents would like to hold on to the way it was, technology disrupts, and sports betting is in no way insulated from that. And frankly, MGM, who are really savvy decision makers, savvy organization, have recognized that and embraced it. And in fact, what they've done, what Nevada and Las Vegas have done, is reinvent themselves again. Mm. Reinvent themselves this time as the center of the sports universe. And Las Vegas really has become that. You know, Vegas has been on an upward trajectory with the Vegas Golden Knights.
It has happened in Vegas. The Cup's going to stay in Vegas. And for the first time, the Golden Knights are Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah. The Aces, Formula One, now with the Oakland A's on their way. So on the biggest stage, Vegas is going to show the world how they blend sports and entertainment together. It's ushering in a new, in my view, ushering in a new era in sports as Vegas becomes the destination for marquee events. And frankly, BetMGM is ideally positioned to capitalize, as I said, for two reasons. One, because of our omni-channel advantage. This is how we meld together retail and digital into a seamless experience for our players. But also, it's our home field. Anyone who goes will be in Vegas for the Super Bowl, for the big game, will see the strength and muscle of MGM Resorts and BetMGM.
And you'll be painting Las Vegas gold and black with outdoor, indoor, digital, and special advertising that will, bombard fans the minute they get off the plane. Black and gold, of course, the color of the Las Vegas Golden Knights as well. You had mentioned Wayne Gretzky. You mentioned Tom Brady. You mentioned Vince Vaughn. Vegas, baby, Vegas. All of that is amazing, especially for Gen Xers like Damien and myself.
That's right.
I'm curious, though. You did not bag the most important celebrity, which is Taylor Swift. She may or may not be in town, and you missed out on that opportunity, or is there still time?
Well, I believe she's an open question, a hanging question, whether she'll be able to get from Japan to the game. According to the Swifties who really focus on this question, there is a chance that if she gets on a plane immediately, she'll be there the night before. So we're hoping. I think for all of America and for the NFL and for viewership, we're very much hoping and doing anything we can to support that. If we
right.
if we can, it would be great to have her in town.
I do wonder, though, when it comes to investing in celebrity spokespeople, there is some risk to it now that wasn't really apparent a few years ago. You think about Tom Brady and his association with FTX, the way that Taylor Swift is being weaponized by the far right and conspiracy theorists about, you know, her appearance being evidence of the Super Bowl being rigged, the NFL being rigged, the election being rigged. Would it not make more sense to start considering steering away from celebrity spokespeople who can be as polarizing as anything else in our culture, and maybe stick with someone like Michael Barr for your next ad?
Yeah, you'll draw a lot of them if you get me in there. Yeah.
Well, what I mean is regular people who are passionate about sports betting.
Oh, that is a really complex, multi-dimensional question, if I may just. Look, reality is we have to navigate the tricky intersection between impact and reach and risk. And the role of social media as a polarizing medium, I don't think that's going away.
No.
And so what we have been really thoughtful about is aligning ourselves with those who we believe to be consistent with our brand values and less polarizing. And of course, everybody has a history, but we are very thoughtful in how we manage those associations. But you're right. Look, in Canada, they've for different reasons, by the way, they have now required that no existing or former sports celebrities are able to be ambassadors. Now, the lens through which they're interpreting that is one of responsible gambling, mm-hmm. and likelihood of underage viewers being attracted to the category.
Our thanks to BetMGM CEO Adam Greenblatt for joining us on the show today. This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We hear each and every week at the same time. For my colleagues Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer, I'm Michael Barr. Tune in again next week for the latest on the stories moving big old money in the world of sports. You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.